I want to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service. Happy Palm Sunday to all of you who are listening in. And we want to especially welcome today Katie Dahl. Katie had a very harrowing experience a few weeks ago when she was stuck in Europe, right when everything went crazy. And we're so grateful that she got home. She quarantined for a couple of weeks. She is here. And it's such a delight that she will be here and providing her talents with us. This Thursday is Maundy Thursday, and I'm going to be here again in the church building, but I will not have any music. I'm going to sit at a table, and we're going to have communion together. In fact, I'm going to make some unleavened bread. Now, I'm not a baker, so we don't know how that's going to turn out, and if it doesn't, I'll have crackers. But if you'd like to bake bread at your house and then join me, I would be delighted to see you over Mevo at 6:30 on Holy Thursday. And then our Easter service is next week with Cindy Steele and Colin Welford, and that will be Sunday at 10 a.m. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Why do you ask when I'm so young how I believe my days will run? Well, I can tell you I'm afraid of all the dark I see. The way folks fall before their time, the way coyotes call at the tree line, the way things are and the way they cease to be. All my love, will you stay? All my love, will you stay? All my love, will you stay? All my love. The summer heat, the wooden bed, September wheat, the village dead, all the kindness in the kitchens and the corner store. How you whistle in the yard, all the thistle and the chard. They fly as fast as children out the door. Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay, oh my love? If you could ask me when I'm old, how do you turn the days to gold? How do you make a friend of time as he goes walking by? Well, looking back, it's hard to say just how day leads on to day. I can tell you how the light looks in July. Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love. So when the sight falls from her eyes, when the light falls from the skies, when the wind leaves all that summer spread across the lawn, maybe the lucky ones can see a bright and ragged tapestry, how it hangs there in the air, just like smoke or like a prayer. The way it shines, yeah, the way that it is gone. Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, oh my love, will you stay? Oh my love, will you stay? oh my love, will you stay, oh my love?
The watchword for the week. Being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8.
A reflection on the triumphal entry by Kathleen. What sights and sounds does Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem conjure? The rustle of narrow-leaved palms sweeping through the dusty air, a jumble of people robed in rustic tunics, heads covered in shalas, and of course, a sweet little donkey plodding between squat, flat-roofed stone buildings. Jesus, in turn, rides purposefully towards pain and humiliation. His fidelity to personal mission, despite oppression, is astonishing and oddly comforting to those facing terminal diagnosis, rejection, or just getting through a rotten day. We empathize with Jesus, who empathizes with us. Jesus and the Jewish people faced oppression. How shall integrity face oppression? Mused sociologist W.E.B. Du Bois. He wrote about the first half of the 20th century, focusing on structural racism. The term structural racism appeared in the lexicon in 1967 after his death. The term's meaning can be perplexing and continues to play out in national conversation. Du Bois wrote, "What shall honesty do in the face of deception? Decency in the face of insult, self-defense before the blows." He suggested answers were contradictory and shaped by the veil of one's place in society, as well as by the measure of persecution, that is, once a year or once a decade, or hourly and daily. Many people who experience subjugation their entire lives across generations somehow live with integrity, hope, and joy. How do they do it? How did Jesus do it, refusing to forsake his mission upon meeting brute force, armed only with virtue? If we forsake our personal missions with, oh well, shrugs, rage, or numbness, we embrace a short-sighted destiny. If we meditate on the triumphal entry, we might identify the coping strategies of Jesus and his followers, who faced both public tyranny and individual trouble. Riding with Jesus, whether we view the times as jubilant or menacing, always leads to the promised land. We would like you to join us in singing hymn number 343. This is a great hymn of the Moravian Church, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." bring our praise reports and our prayer requests. For our praise report, last week we asked for prayer for Essa, a little girl in Texas who was facing a test for COVID-19, and her test results came back negative. So we're so thankful to God. Last week I asked for prayers for Larry and his family. These were relatives of my sister-in-law, and they are recovering. I want to thank God for those who are reaching out to people, especially those who are shut in and who are living alone. We've had a marvelous response from people calling others and lifting their spirits, and we're so grateful. So grateful for those who are respecting the rules, who are self-quarantining, who are keeping distance, who are protecting others. I'm so thankful for those who are on the front lines, especially our nurses, our first responders, police officers, all of those who are working so diligently to help others. We want to remember in our prayers our nurses, especially Kelly, who's an emergency room nurse, Crystal, who is also in the medical field and has tested positive for COVID-19, Julie, who administers tests for COVID-19. We want to remember those in our prison systems who are in close quarters and who are at great risk. We want to remember our family and friends in Scandia Village who are locked in. We want to remember Mike, who is a cousin to my sister-in-law and is on a respirator in a New York hospital. And I'd like to ask for prayers again for my Uncle Dan. Last week I asked for prayers because he lost his last sibling, my Uncle Etchery, and yesterday his wife died. You know, life doesn't give us a chance sometimes to catch our breath. And we all know that when tragedy strikes, we don't get a chance to regroup. Sometimes one thing happens after the other, and we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God and ask for strength and healing from above. So let us join together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for those answers to prayer. I thank you for your kindness and your loving mercy. I thank you for the people who have recovered from this dread illness. I thank you for all of those who have gone above and beyond to help people in need. We give you thanks for the kindness of strangers. We would bring before you all of those who are in need today. For Kelly, that you would undergird her with strength. For Crystal, as she has tested positive. For Julie, who administers these tests, that you would keep them in your loving care and give them your strength. For all those who are incarcerated and worried about their fate, that you would grant to them power from above. For our friends and neighbors in Scandia Village, that you would speak peace to them and help them to know that they are not isolated or alone. We ask that you would be with Mike and for those who are caring for him, that you would grant to him your healing mercy. We bring before you Uncle Dan. I ask that you would be with him, especially today as he mourns the loss of his wife, that you would grant to him your grace, your peace, your strength. For all of those today who are mourning the loss of so many wonderful traditions, I ask that your love would surround them. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our first lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm learning what I already knew. I don't get to choose when or how or why or who. Aspens quake and bodies break, and I could too, I already knew. The in and out is all we get to keep. Nose to throat, to lung, to heart, to blood, to rosy cheek. The days go by in minutes, the hours last a week. The in and out is all we keep. We all gotta wash in the stream. Not one of us is pure, not one of us is clean. Every one of us is pure, everyone's a holy dream, washed in the stream. There's never been a spring that didn't come. Nothing's ever new beneath the cold winter sun. Hammer, tree, and tap, that sap is gonna run. It's gonna run, and spring is gonna come. I'm learning what I already knew. All the mighty millions are just the fragile few. When empires shake and bodies break, I love you. I love you. I already knew.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This has got to be the strangest Palm Sunday I've ever experienced. From a little girl, I loved Palm Sunday. I loved getting a palm. I loved all the wonderful music, and everything was rousing and happy. Sometimes we had parades through the church. It was just magnificent. And after I became a Moravian, it was even more fun because we had this wild song called Hosanna, and it was antiphonal, and we'd sing it out, and we'd do it every Advent and Palm Sunday in this church. It's a wonderful time. But there was one tradition that I could not understand, and I resisted it, especially when I became a pastor, and that was that hymn that we sang earlier, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. I resisted it because I read the words. The music itself is very elegant and majestic, but the words are really a downer and a buzzkill. Think of those words. Ride on, ride on in majesty. Hear all the tribes Hosanna cry. O Savior meek, your road pursue. With palms and scattered garments strewed. That's fine. But then the second verse, ride on, ride on in majesty. In lowly pomp, ride on to die. And then the next one. Right on in majesty, the winged armies of the sky look down with sad and wandering eyes to see the approaching sacrifice. That kind of brought chills to my soul, and I refused for years to put it on the bulletin, to put it anywhere near the service, because I figured this is joyful. Palm Sunday is joyful. It's about a parade. And it's not about death. We'll wait till Good Friday for that. And fortunately, Good Friday, very few people show up. So you go from Palm Sunday high to Easter high, and you leave all that death behind. And that's kind of part of our culture, isn't it? To leave death behind. To put it behind closed doors. Not to talk about it, not to deal with it. Even when it's all around us. And so every Palm Sunday, I had some wonderful sermons from everybody's perspective. I even did the donkey's perspective one year. You know, when you run out of ideas, you have to keep doing something. I did it from the donkey's perspective, from the Pharisees' perspective, from the people's perspective. And this year, with an empty church, almost, guess I have to do it from Jesus' perspective. I know the perspective of the people. They were the oppressed. These were people who had lived under Roman rule for so long, and they saw their champion coming. And of course, they're shouting Hosanna, which means God save us. And I think their idea was he was going to ride that donkey into Jerusalem, march up to Pilate's palace, knock on the door and say, move aside. We've got a new champion in town. I'm taking over. So of course they were excited. Some of them in the crowd were probably people who had been healed by Jesus. The disciples had seen many wonderful things. So of course they were excited and joyful and hopeful. But only Jesus knew the real reason he had gotten that donkey. He knew the symbolism. The donkey and a man put on a donkey and in a parade was the king coming in peace. And even though it was a peaceful mission, he knew that that symbolism was going to rattle the authorities and it was going to fast track him to the cross. And so while everybody's shouting, while everybody's having a grand time on that parade, that man knew he was facing death. That's the perspective of Palm Sunday that I've missed probably all my life until now. And so when we think of this Palm Sunday, of what it was really about for Jesus, I'm so grateful because Jesus can empathize with the people in New York who see body bags in the street. People can empathize with the widow of the Methodist minister. He had tended his flock for so long and he died from COVID-19. And I watched on the news feed as the members of his church choir stood 6 feet apart and sang, serenaded his widow on the street because that's all they could do. I think of the people around the world who were suffering. I think of the people who had jobs, who were thrown out of work this week, who had counted on that income to feed their families. And I think of that man riding in the parade with everybody shouting, and he knew what was going to happen. Have you ever been in a crowd where everybody's happy and you're dying inside? Have you ever been there? You might have lost a loved one last year and everybody else has forgotten, but you haven't. You might have gotten a diagnosis that no one knows about, but you do. And today we remember that the man who rode alone can deeply empathize with you and with me. Sometimes we've got to sit in that grief. I know we want to replace it with palms. I know we want to replace it with shouts, but I invite you this week to sit with it. Whether you're affected by this crisis or not, sit with it. Allow God's grace and God's love to be with you. I think of those people and how disappointed they were when all their expectations were destroyed at the end of the week. But you see, they had expected somebody for their time and place to be their champion, to be their redeemer, to be their liberator, kind of like Moses from many years before. But Jesus didn't come to just liberate one set of people in one nation at one time. He came to bring liberation to us all. And so in that understanding, in that grace, we stand this day knowing that Easter's not far off. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that as the crowd shouted, as your own heart was shattered by what was to come, that you bore it all for us so that we might not go through this life isolated and alone and in grief. Thank you, Lord, for being acquainted with grief. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. May that surround us these days, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sob sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song and the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. While we seek mirth and beauty and music light and gay, there are frail forms fainting by the door. Voices are silent, their pleading looks still say, oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song and the sigh of the weary. Hard times days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a sigh that is wafted across the troubled wave. 'Tis a wail that is heard upon the shore. 'Tis a dirge that is murmured around the lowly grave. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song and a sigh of the weary. Hard times
now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.